You are listening to Havara with Shoshana. Havara, C-H-A-V-U-R-A-H, is a Hebrew term commonly used to describe scripture study among believers. Havara is produced under the direction of Shaul Dog's Messianic Jewish Moment, and our website is www.foryahweh.org. That's the numeral 4, Y-A-H-W-E-H. New episodes air each Tuesday evening at 8 p.m. and can also be heard streaming live at yrn.spruce.com, the Yeshuan Radio Network. Please come join us.
Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see. Beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. King of all days, oh so high.
Don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray standing in the synagogues and on street corners so that people can see them. Yes, I tell you, they have their reward already. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father in secret. Your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, don't babble on and on like the pagans who think God will hear them better if they talk a lot. Don't be like them, because your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Therefore, pray like this. Our Father, in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us the food we need today. Forgive us what we have done wrong, as we too have forgiven those who have wronged us. And do not lead us into hard testing, but keep us safe from the evil one. For kingship, power, and glory are yours forever. Amen. For if you forgive others their offenses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their offenses, your heavenly Father will not forget yours. Matthew chapter 6. Today we're going to discover some of the ins and outs of prayer. Yeshua, when teaching, gave us this example in Matthew of how we should pray. First, note to whom the prayer is addressed to. Our Father. Not Yeshua, but our Father. I've had this concept pointed out to me in lessons I've heard from other Torah teachers, and they bring up a valid point. Also, as I've studied, I've seen the scriptures confirm what they have taught. Exodus 3:12. He replied, I will surely be with you. Your sign that I have sent you will be that when you have led the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Exodus 9:1. When Yehovah said to Moshe, go to Pharaoh and tell him, here is what Yehovah, the God of the Hebrews, says. Let my people go so they can worship me. Matthew 4:10. Away with you, Satan, Yeshua said. For the Tanakh says, worship Yehovah your God and serve him only. Revelation 19:10. I fell at his feet to worship him, but he said, don't do that. I'm only a fellow servant with you and your brothers who have the testimony of Yeshua. Worship God, for the testimony of Yeshua is the spirit of prophecy. Now some could argue that Yehovah, Yeshua, and the Ruach HaKodesh are Ichad as one, and they are, but each has their own name, and we won't get into that debate here. But suffice it to say, there's plenty of scriptures that very clearly indicate to whom our worship is to be directed towards. Matthew 12:18. Here is my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved with whom I am well pleased. I will put my spirit on him, and he will announce justice to the Gentiles. John 12:26. If someone is serving me, let him follow me. Wherever I am, my servant will be there too. My Father will honor anyone who serves me. Isaiah 52:13. See how my servant will succeed. He will be raised up, exalted, highly honored. Just as many were appalled at him because he was so disfigured that he didn't even seem human and simply no longer looked like a man, so now he will startle many nations because of him. Kings will be speechless, for they will see what they had not been told. They will ponder things they had never heard. Ezekiel 34:23. I will raise up one shepherd to be in charge of them, and he will let them feed, my servant David. He will pasture them and be their shepherd. I, Yehovah, will be their God, and my servant David will be prince among them. I, Yehovah, have spoken. Now I'm going to engage in a little rabbit trail here. My servant David, by definition, is Yeshua, for Isaiah 11 tells us from what lineage Yeshua would be born from. We read in Isaiah 11, but a branch will emerge from the trunk of Yishai, a shoot will grow from his roots. The spirit of Yehovah will rest on him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and power, the spirit of knowledge and fearing Yehovah. He will be inspired by fearing Yehovah. He will not judge by what his eyes see or decide by what his eyes hear, but he will judge the impoverished justly. He will decide fairly for the humble of the land. He will strike the land with a rod from his mouth and slay the wicked with a breath from his lips. Justice will be the belt around his waist, faithfulness the sash around his hips. Now, don't you think this line sounds familiar? Now, I have to engage in another rabbit trail here, but I love to see the places where the apostles specifically refer to lines in the prophets. They are usually to trigger a memory or a concept associated with said words. In this case, Shaul is reminding them who and what the armor is we are to take hold of. Isaiah 11 is a specific messianic prophecy, and we all know how much the people of Israel knew their prophetic scriptures. Here we have it in Ephesians 6:14. Therefore stand, have the belt of truth buckled around your waist, put on righteousness for a breastplate, and wear on your feet the readiness that comes from the good news of Shalom. Always carry the shield of trust with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And take the helmet of deliverance along with the sword given by the Spirit, that is, the Word of God, and that's in capital letters. As you pray at all times with all kinds of prayers and requests, in the Spirit, vigilantly and persistently for all God's people. So now we'll continue with the original train of thought. These are words and scriptures that specifically refer to Yeshua, but not in the way one might think. Isaiah 51:5. My righteousness is at hand, my salvation goes out. My arms will judge the peoples. The coastlands are putting their hope in me, trusting in my arm. Isaiah 50:2. Why was no one here when I came? Why, when I called, did nobody answer? Is my arm too short to redeem? Have I too little power to save? With my rebuke I dry up the sea, I turn rivers into desert, their fish rot for lack of water, and they die of thirst. Numbers 11:23. Yehovah answered Moshe, Has Yehovah's arm grown short? Now you will see whether what I said will happen or not. Deuteronomy 5:15. You are to remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and Yehovah your God has brought you out from there with a strong hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore Yehovah your God has ordered you to keep the day of Shabbat. Deuteronomy 4:34. Or has God ever tried to go in and take for himself a nation from the very bowels of another nation by means of ordeals, signs, wonders, war, a mighty hand, an outstretched arm, and great terrors, like all that Yehovah your God did for you in Egypt before your very eyes? I could go on and on with the scriptures that specifically identify Yeshua as Yehovah's, for lack of a better term, body part. They are indeed one as much as my arm is one with me. I see so many people praying to Yeshua when Yeshua himself specifically said to pray to the Father. To put it in minutely simple terms, it would be the equivalent of grabbing your arm and talking to your arm and asking it if it would like to join me for dinner. Wouldn't you be rather confused, if not annoyed, by my addressing an appendage rather than the person? There's some food for thought. Prayer is an important part of spiritual life as addressed in Ephesians 6, which we have already read, but there's some other concepts about prayer that are little noticed, let alone known. Do you think Yehovah hears and answers every prayer that comes in his direction? Let's take a look at Scripture and see what it tells us. 2 Chronicles 7:12. Yehovah appeared to Shlomo, or Solomon, by night and said to him, I have heard your prayer, and have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. If I shut up the sky so that there is no rain, or if I order locusts to devour the land, or if I send an epidemic of sickness among my people, then, if my people who bear my name will humble themselves, pray, seek my face, and turn from their evil ways, then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, heal their land. Now my eyes will be open, and my ears will pay attention to the prayer made in this place. There's a specific connection between repentance and prayer, noted here in 2 Chronicles 12. We have to repent and turn around and, in essence, pay attention to Torah and be seeking His face before He will specifically hear our prayers. Psalm 17:15 reiterates this, as in, But my prayer in righteousness is to seek your face. On waking, may I be satisfied with a vision of you. Again, he's saying he's praying in righteousness, which means he's abiding by the law to the best of his ability, or Torah. Psalm 34:16. But the face of Yehovah opposes those who do evil, to cut off all memory of them from the earth. Isaiah 8:17. I will wait for Yehovah, who is hiding his face from the house of Yaakov. Yes, I will look for him. Isaiah 54:8. I was angry for a moment and hid my face from you, but with everlasting grace I will have compassion on you, says Yehovah your Redeemer. Now the thought of Yehovah hiding his face from me is a scary thought. We constantly pray at the end of Havarah, and you will hear it weekly in many Messianic and Orthodox congregations, the plea and prayer for Yehovah's face to shine on us and his people. James 4:7. Therefore, submit to God. Moreover, take a stand against the adversary, and he will flee from you. Come close to God, and he will come close to you. Clean your hands, sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded people. James brings up a valid point that summarizes what prayer is all about. Knowing Yeshua, who is Torah, by definition equates to being close to God. For we know that Torah is the heart of God, ergo knowing or coming close to Torah, we have in action become close to God. James 4:1. What is causing all the quarrels and fights among you? Isn't it your desires battling inside you? You desire things and don't have them. You kill and you are jealous and you still can't get them, so you fight and quarrel. The reason you don't have is that you don't pray. Or you pray and don't receive because you pray with the wrong motive, that of wanting to indulge your own desires. Now there's some tough words to swallow. I can speak personally of being guilty of this very thing. One thing I have come to learn, as was noted in last week's Havara, when we pray, we need to remember that all is for Yehovah's glory. Selfish desires, no matter how innocent they may seem, are just that. Selfish motives are things for our benefit, our peace, our general well-being. It is mindful to note that Job was restored his fortune when he prayed for his friends, not for himself. We see that in Job 42:10. When Job prayed for his friends, Yehovah restored his fortunes. Yehovah gave Job twice as much as he had before. We have promises from our Creator that we needn't worry about the basics of life. Sometimes it's hard to look in the mirror and see the proverbial field of wild irises, but know it's there, and He's watching over you. Matthew 6:25. Therefore I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Isn't life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds flying about. They neither plant nor harvest, nor do they gather food into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you worth more than they are? Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to his life? And why be anxious about clothing? Think about the fields of wild irises and how they grow. They neither work nor spin thread. Yet I tell you that even Solomon in all his glory was clothed as beautifully as one of these. If this is how God clothes the grass in the field, which is here today and gone tomorrow, thrown in an oven, won't he much more clothe you? What little trust you have. So don't be anxious asking, what will we eat, what will we drink, or how will we be clothed? For it is the pagans who set their hearts on these things. Your heavenly Father knows you need them all. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will worry about itself. Today has enough worries already. David gave us a wonderful example of prayer in Psalm 141. We hear him say, Yehovah, I have called you. Come to me quickly. Listen to my plea when I call you. Let my prayer be like incense set before you, my uplifted hands like an evening sacrifice. Set a guard, Yehovah, over my mouth. Keep watch at the door of my lips. Don't let my heart turn to anything evil or allow me to act wickedly with men who are evildoers. Keep me from eating their delicacies. Let the righteous strike me. Let him correct me. It will be an act of love. Let my head not refuse such choice oil, for I will keep on praying about their wickedness. When their rulers are thrown down from the cliff, the wicked will hear that my words were fitting. As when one plows and breaks the ground into clods, our bones are strewn at the mouth of Sheol. For my eyes, Yehovah, are on you. In you I take refuge. Don't pour out my life. Keep me from the trap they have set for me and the snares of the evildoers. Let the wicked fall into their own nets while I pass by in safety. Prayer is an integral part of our righteousness and our continuing walk with Yehovah. Abraham was called the friend of God, and it is my goal that each and every one in the sound of my voice to constantly strive to attain that level, because only then can we be sure we will see him face to face when he comes to reclaim his own, those with his name on their lips and written on their hearts. Yivareka Yehovah Vayishmereka, Yair Yivah Panaf Eleka Vikuneka, Yisa Yehovah Panaf Eleka Viyasem Leka Shalom. May Yehovah bless you and keep you. May Yehovah make his face shine on you and show you his favor. May Yehovah lift up his face towards you and give you peace.
To know you is to never worry for my life. To know you is to never give in or compromise. And to know you is to want to tell the world about you, 'cause I can't live without you. there's no life left.